certain statement, I think of my father and I see his face, all I feel is gratitude. So I give this song to him.
grateful so far?
Yes.
Well, that's what the message is about. That has special meaning for me because I love Karen Drucker. She experiences God, and she helps me experience God in almost everything she sings. I have 51 of her albums digitally, and I have some actually hard copy, you know, the whatever you call those old-fashioned ones, right? But I was at that church back in 1997 when I was in ministerial school studying to be a minister. Every year, part of our training was to take a class trip to a different region and to visit the churches in that region. Well, fortunately, I am grateful that we went to the Pacific Northwest. So I got to go to Seattle, Washington, to Victoria, British Columbia, to Portland, you know, to different churches that were in the Pacific Northwest. And the whole purpose of that, by the way, it was not a sightseeing trip. I mean, I did get to eat at the, what is that called, that restaurant in Seattle?
Space Needle
or something. It took us there to eat, so that was my sightseeing. But the rest of it was pretty much in a hotel room and at a church. But the whole point was for us to see how ministry works in the field. Like, what's it going to be like when I actually go out into a church and serve people? And it was an invaluable experience in so many ways. But so her being at that very church that I was at, I always look for her music because it speaks to me. And when I saw that she was at Seattle Unity, I thought, oh, the other thing I love about it is, do you notice how she involves the audience? She involves the people in the church. She doesn't just perform for you. She has you join in so that you have an experience of gratitude. And sometimes I feel silly doing that, you know, like I'd rather just sit here, right? And I noticed on Sunday, Sarah, every single time there's music, Sarah is back there clapping. Well, she's getting a lot out of the music, more out of the music than when I'm just sitting here listening to it, because she is doing something with her body that is having her join with what's happening. Well, anyway, that's a long introduction, but it was important to me to let you know what was going on with me about that. I have service schedules in here. Just a minute, we don't need those. The title I chose for today is Gratitude Transforms the World, right? Gratitude Transforms the World. How does it do that? Does it just magically happen? First of all, it transforms me. It transforms me when I give thanks, when I'm aware of all the ways God is blessing me every single day. Now, how many of you, I often wish somebody could be keeping score, like with what I'm thinking, right? How many times are my thoughts on, oh, I'm so blessed, God, you're so good to me. My life is wonderful. I mean, my eyes, I can see, I can hear. Now, everybody can't do all those things, I know that. But we're thankful for what we got, not what we not. And yet it seems to me that I've spent way too much of my life focusing on what I'm not. What isn't right about me? What's not right about you? What's not right about everything? The politicians, the world. If everybody would just be doing what I know is right, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Not necessarily. So, I have learned a really important lesson that I don't know what's right much of the time. You know, I thought I did, but I've been wrong a lot of the time. But there is a presence and a power within me that knows what's right all of the time. So how do I have that communication going so that God is telling me what I need to be thinking and speaking and doing, right? Because most of my life it's just been what I thought I needed to be. Well, I can't control my thoughts. You know, what the thoughts that arise in our minds, I try not to get too hard on myself about that. But it's what I do with those thoughts that makes a difference. So if I'm starting to go with, well, I don't like the way, I can't think of something right now. I don't like the way something is. Anybody got an idea about something they don't like? Give me an idea. I don't like the war that's going on. The one in Israel, there's, you know, still fighting. It's going on actually in the city of St. Louis.
Yes.
And it's actually going on in homes right here in St. Charles County.
Yes.
So we focus on the global war, but there is a war that goes on inside, by the way, of you and me. Anytime I'm not feeling God's presence and power, that I'm not looking for God in you, that I'm not seeing what God is doing in my life, I'm not at peace, am I? Now, I want to blame those people over there. You know, they're terrible. And by the way, what's going on is terrible. We are not minimizing it. But what am I doing with it? Am I spending, how many hours a day am I spending listening to all the terrible things that are going on? Not just there, but everywhere. Maybe we're complaining about a relative or a neighbor or about a government or a system or a politician, right? How much of our time is wasted? We have been given every breath is precious. Every breath is precious, but I haven't realized that. I have squandered so many of them on things that did not give me the peace and the love and the joy and the happy life that God intends for me and you. But you see, I could blame it on circumstances. I can say, well, but if you had my problem, you know, you'd be complaining about it too. And I probably would. But where does that get me? Where does that get me but deeper in the dark hole of misery and suffering? And it's a relearning. It's a rewiring of our brains. It's a rewiring of how we respond. It's a rewiring of what we do. But I can't do that by myself. You see, I want to just think everybody's wonderful, and I want to find what's good in you all the time. That is my intention, by the way. I really don't want to find any faults in you. That's not my goal. But they show up. You know, I mean, something happens and I don't like it, right? I've tried to change myself. I'm 80 years old now. And I have been trying to change myself for many years. There was a time when I didn't know any better and I wasn't trying to change myself. You know, I was just okay with how I was, right? But I am miserable when I am finding what's wrong with myself too. By the way, this is the hardest one. I'm always like, oh, you don't look right, or oh, you said the wrong thing, or that wasn't okay. Does anybody else ever do stuff like that? That you wish that you had done something different? Yeah, we all do. And so my intention, I honestly really want everybody to have peace. Even those people who are doing those terrible things, because they need our prayers. They need our prayers, they're hurting. Hurting people hurt people. If they were feeling peace and love and joy, they would not be killing and hurting other people. So, I can complain all I want about them, and I can spend my life talking about how terrible they are. There's something else I can do. I can remember that the presence of God is in them, and it's in every single person, every single minute. And I can start looking for the good in people. Now, I do this really well. I'm really good at being grateful to people. Like, I started a new round of physical therapy with a different therapist for my vestibular system. And when I went in for the first appointment, Casey is the woman's name, who's, I guess she's a receptionist. I don't know what you call those people, but who makes your appointments and takes your money and whatever. She is the kindest, most gentle human being. Just being in her presence softens everything about me. And I'm really good at telling people that. I'm really good at telling them that they made a difference, that you blessed me by who you are and how kind you are. my day is better. I don't have any problem with that. But I do have a problem when the checkout person in the grocery store is snarky and does not greet me with a smile and say, "How are you?" Because you see, I feel better when everybody else is happy too. I want everybody to be happy all of the time. Poor Wayne. You know, come on, honey, smile. It's because I feel better. I'm looking at that. That's about me. I feel better. But there is something I can do and not complain to you about how snarky that person was at the... How many of us complain? Oh, that person at the checkout thing was just rude and not nice at all, right? Does anybody else do things like that but me? Am I the only person?
No.
Can I see any show of hands? Okay, a few. All right. What I can do and what I'm called to do is I am to look beyond the appearance and see that this person is actually suffering in many ways. They probably don't want to be there. They don't like what they're doing. Would you like to stand on your feet all day long and check out people at the grocery store? They probably don't like what they're doing. They probably are not happy in their life. What can I do? I can smile at them and say, "Hi, how are you? Thank you for being here checking out my groceries. I really appreciate that you're doing this for me." And if you don't feel comfortable saying all those words, you can just smile at them. But when you smile, let that love that's in you, that God presence in you, generate to them. It is contagious. They may not do anything different, and then I'm disappointed, right? Because, you know, I made an effort here, and they're not responding the way I want. So again, it's all about me. And that's why I suffer. It's not about them being unfriendly to me. That has nothing to do with anything. There is nothing anyone else, unless they're beating you. Now that's an exception. But people's ignoring you or, you know, giving you a dirty look or not doing what you want, that doesn't have anything to do with you. That has everything to do with them and where they are. And if you don't make it about you, then you see it. Oh, you know, the scripture, the Apostle Paul in his letter, you know, Paul wrote many letters, and some of you are Bible scholars and some of you are not, but in his letter to the church in Thessalonia, it's in the first book of Thessalonians, there's two, he wrote two letters to them, and he says, this is in the fifth chapter, he says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances." Oh, wow. First of all, are you rejoicing always? Or is it only when things go your way? Are you praying without ceasing, not begging and beseeching? Are you praying, giving thanks to God for all the ways you're blessed?
Yes.
Giving thanks in all circumstances. I'm not thankful that the killing is going on. That's not what we're asking to be thankful for. But I'm thankful that in that circumstances, I am called to pray for those people, not just the ones who are being injured, but the ones who are doing it. And I am to send them blessings. The program I'm in, I talked to one person for 2 weeks, and she's a Jewish woman. And every day when I talked to her, she was just frantic because she was so scared and so upset, because she knew people who were there, but she also feared for her own life. She was afraid to even go to the synagogue because people in this country are harming Jews. So you see the effect of it, but you and I are here to do a different effect. We're here to bring something else. There's something. She goes, "I can't do anything. I'm just helpless here." And, of course, first of all, you have compassion for somebody suffering. You never minimize. You don't just skip over it and say, "Oh, but." You say, "That has to be so hard for you. I'm so sorry. I'm praying for you." But then I was able to give her something that she loved. And she started doing it and it made a difference. I said, there's these metaphrases where you can say to these people, both sides, by the way, the ones who are being harmed, the other, may you be filled with love and kindness. May you be safe and protected. May you be healthy and strong. May you be peaceful and at ease. And may you be happy. Sincerely wishing that. Because you see, just mouthing words doesn't do anything for you or anybody. You got to get your heart in the right place. You have to know that all of those people, every single human being, is you. We are one. We are one. Yes. And yet we're so caught up in, well, they're Jewish, and they're this, and they're that, and they're, you know. We separate ourselves from each other. That's why we suffer. We are here to love each other. We are here to look beyond appearances. And one of the ways that I find helps me is gratitude. Okay? So I start looking for, every day I do a thing called two-way prayer process. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. But it's a thing where you go to God, and a lot of people go to God with a request. You know, like, God, I need help with this message I'm doing on Sunday. Please help me. But I don't do that anymore. I go to God, I set a timer for 10 minutes, and I say, God, what do you want me to know right now? What do you want me to be and do? Tell me how this day, what do you want for me in this day? And then I type for 10 minutes. And the people go, oh, that's weird. Well, it takes some practice to get in the routine of it. But actually, God is directing my life. And every single day, probably for a year now, the first response I always get is, and this comes from Proverbs. Most of you know this scripture. This is Proverbs chapter 5, verses 3. No, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It reads, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. Well, I make it personal. I act like God's talking to me, and this is what God says. Karen, I want you to trust me today and not rely on yourself or anybody else. See how different that feels when I make it personal? Karen, I want you to rely on me, trust me, not yourself. Because look where that's gotten you. I mean, many good places, by the way, but a lot not so good. So, in all your ways, acknowledge me, God says. So, look to me. Know that I'm doing these good things in your life. You're not doing them. I'm doing them through you when you invite me and you let me take you over. So, in all your ways, acknowledge me, for I'm making straight your path. And I've shared this with you before. I was privileged to speak here on Palm Sunday in 2020. And my favorite service of all times is the Palm Sunday service. And some of you were here when I did those. And we had palm leaves here. And you walked up from your seat, and I touched you. It wasn't me. It was God saying, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. You are healed. And amazing things happen for people in that experiential thing. So I was excited when I was asked to speak. Sure, I'll do that. Well, then guess what happened? We shut down for COVID. So then I had to come up with something else. But in coming up with something else, God gave me a prayer that I've been saying every day for 4 years. And you've heard me say it. The last two times I spoke here, I started with it. God, take me over. Take me over, God. Think through me your thoughts. Speak through me your words. Act through me your actions for your glory, for my healing and the healing of the world. That is a profound prayer because I'm getting out of the way and I'm not trying to manage and control my life. And I'm not trying to manage and control Wayne's quite so much. But unfortunately, if you talk to him, I always have something to add, but not as much as I used to. I'm asking God, and God is changing me. God is taking me over and doing for me what on my human self I couldn't do. And that same presence and that same power is in you. In Unity, we don't talk about a God up in the sky, a man with a long white beard. And by the way, we don't criticize anybody who does. That's really important to know. Everybody's concept of God is real for them, and it's important. But we know that that presence and power of God lives and moves and has its being in us. And that's the truth of who we really are. It's just gotten covered over with everybody telling us we weren't okay and they're not okay and everything's wrong with the world. We need to spend time with God. We can't have a relationship with anybody if we don't spend time with them. People have relationships, but they're not, because they're not spending any time together. We talk about God a lot, but how much time are we spending with God every day? Do we spend 30 minutes a day communicating and talking to God? Do we spend a minute? Do we even think about God? I pray every morning I spend a couple hours every morning in spiritual practice. I love it. But boy, come around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I've totally forgotten. So I need to re-say, God, take me over. Take me over. Think through me your thoughts. Speak through me your words. Act through me your actions. Because then I'm going to be happy. As long as I'm trying to run my own life and run yours, I am not happy. So I'm going to ask you now to, I want you, well, let's just look at the palm of your hand. Can everybody look at the palm of their hand? All right. Do you ever look at the palm of your hand and give thanks for it? What does this hand allow you to do? Yeah. What are some of the things that you can do because you have this hand? Write. You can write something, yes.
Point.
Clean stuff.
Clean. Oh, look at her. I'll have you over. Clean stuff, she said. Oh, that's really important. You should have come up with that one. Eat. Wayne was on a trip last week, and the highlight every day he talked to me was what he was eating. Anyway, so the rest of you like your food too?
Yes.
Yeah. You can open the door to get in here. You can open your car door. You can drive with your hands. You can get dressed, right? Take a bath or a shower. Brush your teeth. Good, Ruthie, yeah. So, how often do you thank God for your hand? When was the last time you did that? Well, let's do that right now. Thank you, God, for my hands.
Thank you, God, for my hands.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to thank God for right now? Just say it out.
Feet.
Thank you, God, for my feet, for my eyes, for my ears. Yeah, my clothes, my mouth. How about your car, if you have one?
Yes.
Gets you here, right? Or if you can't drive it, somebody got you here in their car, right? So you're grateful for their car. What about your house? Are you grateful for your house?
Yes.
Are you grateful for heat and air conditioning?
Yes.
Are you grateful for electricity? How often do you go through the whole list like that and say, thank you, God, for, thank you, God, for, thank you, God, for, thank you, God, for? You know why we do that? Because it makes us happy. I brought my notebook to show you. Jackie referred to my notebook last week. I write down everything. I bring it to church. I take it wherever I go. I take it to doctor's appointments. It is my, like some people have a purse or a wallet, this is my thing. And I have little sections in here, but the back is gratitude. So every day, as I go through the day, I think about all the ways that God blesses me. And I number them. And I write them down. And I sometimes can't stop writing. Friday I had 34 things. Because the more that I notice how God is blessing me, and by the way, I give credit to God. This isn't some luck thing. This is God working in our lives. We've got to give God the glory. We have to thank God. So, I'm going to have you think about the way, you only do this because it makes you happy. If you're doing it and you say, gotta do this because that's what I'm anything you do with that attitude, you're not going to get the benefit of. But if you will allow yourself to start with your hand, start with your eyes, start with your ears, just start writing simple things down, you're going to be so grateful. Like, I was so grateful to that woman at the physical therapy place. I told her. I also told her boss how fortunate they were to have her. What a blessing she was to everybody who walked in the door. And that person was happy that I shared that feedback. Because that person wants people to like their business, right? So, I felt good. Even if nobody had responded positively, when I'm sincerely, and I often am very grateful, Wayne can tell you, I'm giving thanks all day long. I'm thankful for so many things. And I just, the trees, nobody mentioned those leaves on the trees out there. And I even like the trees when they're bare. Because then I can see the birds better. So, anyway, I have gone on and on and on. I wanted to, if it's a quote, I didn't say half the things I wanted to say, and I said things I didn't mean to say, but that's how it goes. Because I asked God to take over, and this is what you got. So if you didn't like it, talk to God. The brother David Steindl Rast is a Buddhist monk. Does anybody know about him? He's 97 years old. And he's called the grandfather of gratitude. And he says that people think that people who are happy are grateful. And he said, actually, that's wrong. Grateful people are happy people. It's the gratitude that brings the happiness. So if you're waiting around for God to do whatever you think God ought to be doing to be grateful, you got a long wait. So anyway, but we do it because as I am grateful to other people, first of all, I'm changed. I'm transformed when I'm grateful. I feel transformed. I feel who God created me to be. And sometimes the other people get it, and their day's better because I said something nice about them instead of finding fault with them. So I'm going to invite you to look for opportunities, because if you don't practice this, by the way, I come here sometimes on Sunday, and Vernetta's lessons are so amazing, and I'm like, oh, and then I go home and get busy with my life. But we have to practice what we learn. We have to practice the teachings that we're being given. Why? As a punishment? No. Because we'll be happier and our life will be better. And then one thought, one word, one action at a time, our world is transformed. Because of you and me, not the government, not those other people doing anything different. We sing, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. And then we go out and we just blame the world for everything. We just find fault and we think we're good people and it's only those people over there that are causing the problem. I have to in my own heart be peaceful and loving and kind. That's how the world is going to change. Not by that war ending over there, because there'll be another one. I got to calm the wars in my own mind. And I have to be loving and kind as God created me. So, how many people are willing to spend some time being grateful this week? Oh, look at that. Good participation. Okay, can I check in with you next week?
Yes.
Okay. All right, well, I think that's it. Gratitude transforms the world by transforming you and making you happy, joyous, and free. God bless you. Okay, now we are going to do our Lord's Prayer. But I'll see you. There it is. Okay, this is the prayer that Jesus taught us as a way for us to connect with God. And many of us grew up in churches, didn't we? Where we said the Lord's Prayer all the time. But how many times do we say it rotely? We just repeat it. Pay attention to the words and let them really sink in. So together, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. So now I invite you to, if it's comfortable for you, to close your eyes, or you can keep them open. You can look at the candles, or the stained glass window, or your feet, or whatever you like. And take some nice, easy, deep breaths. I find that when I take a deep breath, it calms my body, and it calms my mind. So breathing in, being aware of the presence and the power and the love of God, right there with you, right here in this moment. Allow yourself to, if you will, rest in God's loving care. Know the truth that God is actually with you, even holding you every second of every day. God never moves. We just forget that God is there. So allow yourself to receive the love of God right now. And I always like to imagine that I'm filling up like a balloon with the love of God. And a smile should come if we're really imagining our bodies filling up like a balloon with the love of God. And in the same way that balloon is filled with the peace of God, is filled with the joy of God. And God's healing activity is moving through every single cell in your body. If there's any place that you're not experiencing perfect wholeness, do like Myrtle Fillmore did, and bless and give thanks for every perfect cell in your body. She praised and gave thanks, even when she had tuberculosis and was told that she wouldn't live long. She didn't give up. She didn't complain and feel sorry for herself. She spent hours a day praising and giving thanks to every cell and organ in her body, because she knew that the activity of God was moving through every single cell, restoring it to wholeness. So if you have a healing need, remember, God is with you. God's healing life is flowing through you. You are being restored to wholeness. And then there's those thoughts in our minds. Boy, they just keep us so busy, like little squirrels climbing up and down the trees and hopping around. So right now we know that the activity of God is calming our busy minds, settling it down, helping us to rest, rest in peace, stop thinking about what happened that you regret, or what you're worried about happening in the future, or what you have to get to next. Allow yourself to have just a moment of peace and quiet from the chatter. Feel the peace of God calming all your busy thoughts. And know that this calming of your mind can happen anytime you choose. If you will just pause and take 5 slow, easy, deep breaths, and allow your body to calm and relax, and allow your thoughts to calm and relax. And in that quiet, in that peace, healing happens. You don't have to run to and fro or figure out the next thing. We need to be still. We need to be still and let God do God's healing work in us. And for our awareness of this, for ourselves, it's so much better if we let that radiate out to everybody here today. Everybody who's in this sanctuary, let's just know that the peace of God and the healing life of God is healing everything in their life right now in this moment. And then for our beloved community members who aren't here, I know that some of them need our healing prayers, but they all need us to radiate this out to them. Because you see, we are called here together today to be a healing power for ourselves and for them. And then we spread it out to the neighborhood here and to our neighborhoods where we live and to our families and our friends, to the people in our community, to the state, to the nation, and to the world. We are here to be helpful. We are here to bring peace. We are here to be who God created us to be. And as we do that, each moment, second we do that, we are transforming ourselves and the world. And for this opportunity to make such a difference in our own lives and in the world, we say thank you, God, together.
Thank you, God.
And so it is. Amen. Okay, so now we have another thankful song, and I love this one because it's a kid stuff. So it made me so happy when I watched it, so I hope it makes you happy too.
It's a heart. Everybody gets a soul. Everybody gets a mind to let them know.
I am thankful for my name.
everything that we have today.
Hey!
Let's be generous to anyone who has less than us. It's good to be compassionate ever since the day you were born. Yeah, you got a lot to be thankful for.